In Puerto Barrios, Guatemala, life for teenagers Pulga, Chico, and Pequeña unfolds in a world where beauty and brutality exist side by side. The cold Coca-Colas from Don Felicio's corner store and the uniquely blue sky overhead stand in stark contrast to the blood turning brown on concrete and people disappearing only to reappear in fragments. Pulga dreams of becoming an artist while caring for his gentle cousin Chico, who wears his too small American Eagle shirt with innocent pride. Meanwhile, Pequeña has just given birth to a baby she refuses to acknowledge, the result of sexual assault by a local gang leader named Ray. Everything changes when Pulga and Chico witness Don Felicio's murder, his throat slashed by Ray and his brother Nestor. At the wake, the murdered man's wife shares a disturbing vision: Pequeña riding away on a bloody mattress and the boys running scared. "Que corran," she warns, "they must run." When Ray discovers the boys witnessed his crime, he gives them an impossible choice: join his army or die. In this moment, escape becomes their only option. Why does this matter? Because in places where violence becomes as common as breathing, escape isn't just a dream, it's a survival strategy. These teenagers aren't chasing the American dream, they're fleeing a Guatemalan nightmare. The decision to flee tears at family bonds. Pulga leaves his mother with only a hasty letter. Pequeña abandons her newborn son to her mother's care, carrying maternal guilt. Chico follows his cousin, leaving behind his only security. Their exodus begins on a pre-dawn bus, Puerto Barrios dissolving through grimy windows. They pass the Comedor Rosa, where Pequeña shared meals with her mother, the church where her parents married, the clinic where she first heard her baby's heartbeat. Each landmark carries the weight of a life abandoned. What makes these choices devastating is their fundamental unfairness. They're made not for opportunity, but in desperate flight from danger. The choice to leave is no choice at all. It's survival instinct stripped bare, the last grasp at preserving their lives and humanity in a world determined to grind it away. The journey north is dominated by La Bestia, the Beast, the freight train network migrants ride through Mexico toward the U.S. border. This mechanical monster represents both salvation and potential destroyer, symbolizing the brutal journey that breaks people while carrying them toward new life. After dodging checkpoints through nighttime fields, they race alongside the moving train. Pulga boards first, Chico struggles before climbing on, and Pequeña runs behind despite her pain. "The Beast seemed to breathe beside me," she recalls, "threatening to pull me under its wheels." Aboard, they battle elements and exhaustion. Burning sun and whipping branches leave them battered. At night, they huddle together for safety. Each turn risks a deadly fall. When headlights appear alongside the tracks, panicked cries of "Narcos! Kidnappers! La Migra!" spread rapidly. La Bestia embodies the migration journey itself, a necessary monster that might deliver dreams or destroy those who attempt the crossing. As one migrant tells them, "El viaje es muy feo," the journey is very ugly. The journey exacts a devastating toll on each character. Chico dies when he falls from the train, his leg mangled beyond repair. Despite help from a priest and woman, he dies in Pulga's arms with a final smile, telling him not to worry. This loss shatters Pulga. At the funeral, Father Jimenez speaks of Chico being safe with God, but Pulga questions why safety requires death. He retreats into silent grief for 3 days. Pequeña undergoes her own transformation, cutting her hair shorter to strengthen her disguise after Chico's death. Later, separated from Pulga in the desert, she experiences a mystical moment, feeling herself float into the cool night air. The journey forces moral choices between helping vulnerable migrants or self-preservation. Though survival sometimes requires compromising actions, they maintain their fundamental decency, refusing to become like Ray or sacrifice their humanity. Amid the brutality, moments of unexpected kindness shine like beacons, reminding them that humanity persists even in darkness. At a Mexican shelter, Soledad cares for Chico's concussion for 7 days, sharing their hair for lice and cooking nourishing meals. When Pequena reveals her real name as Flor, Soledad encourages her to preserve her identity despite La Bestia's dehumanizing effects. After Chico's death, Father Jimenez offers to bury him in their cemetery for migrants. In Altar, a nun rescues them from attackers with a fake gun, then tends to Pulga's wounds while offering refreshments that move Pequena to tears. Most remarkably, when Pequena is rescued from the desert, one rescuer is Soledad's sister, an impossible connection that makes Pequena laugh for the first time since their journey began. These moments of compassion contrast sharply with institutional cruelty, especially at the U.S. border, highlighting a central theme. Systems may fail, but individuals still possess extraordinary capacity for kindness. The final stage takes them through the Sonoran Desert, a landscape so harsh it becomes a character itself. In this liminal space between countries and life and death, Pulga and Pequena face their greatest transformations. Their journey with Coyote Gancho subjects them to the desert's merciless extremes, freezing nights where Pulga takes deep breaths trying to numb everything inside me, and days when the sun stares down like an angry god's eye. As Pulga falters, Pequena drags him forward. When Border Patrol finds them, an agent's predatory behavior forces Pequena to flee alone while Pulga is detained. In her moment of absolute desperation, Pequena experiences rebirth. When rescued, she declares, "My name is Flor, not Pequena," reclaiming her identity. Similarly, when Pulga is released to his aunt, his heart, "That thing I've been beating to death," floods with feeling. The desert becomes not just a landscape of death, but of rebirth, a crucible forging new selves from old. By journey's end, Pulga and Pequena have survived, but at tremendous cost. Chico's death haunts them as they bear physical evidence. Pulga with skinny, bruised legs and chest discolored black and blue. Pequena's face marked with stinging cuts from desert plants. The emotional wounds run deeper. When Pulga showers at the detention center, he feels, "I'll never be clean again," that there's not enough soap to wash away this pain, this rot. His mother's voice sounds so distant, like she's outside the universe. Yet, amid devastation, hope emerges. Pequena, now calling herself Flor, feels a luminous flower bud unfurling when hearing her true name. Pulga's heart, once "that thing I've been beating to death," suddenly thunders, reminding me I'm alive. Their stories end not with triumphant arrival, but with tentative possibility. Though their innocence and connection to home are lost, their humanity and determination to create meaning from suffering remain. Behind every migration story are individuals making impossible choices, showing that survival itself can resistance in a world that treats some lives as disposable.